This is The Last Word on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Brandon Leopold and John Williams.
And we are joined now by Jeff Hartman, who runs the blog Behind the Steel Curtain on SB Nation, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers and does a tremendous job as well. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on with us. Happy AFC Divisional Playoff Day. Of course, your game is tomorrow, but thanks for hopping on with us.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. The biggest question, of course, is going to be the health of Antonio Brown. I know many questions, of course, surrounding all three of the Killer Bees, but let's focus right now on Antonio Brown. What's his status like? Is he going to be good to go for tomorrow's game?
Well, you know, up until Friday, everything was looking great. He was a full participant in their Monday practice. They had Tuesday off, Wednesday, Thursday, full participant. And then Friday, he was sent home. Mike Tomlin said he had an illness. It was a stomach bug. Didn't want to get any other players sick, and so he sent him home. All reports were that he was at the team walkthrough today, yet it's being also reported that he's going to be a game-time decision. Most people are just kind of wondering, is this a setback from his calf injury, or is this because of the illness? Either way, it looks like the Steelers are expecting Brown to be in the lineup, whether he's 100%, both from the calf injury from Week 15 when they played the Patriots and this illness that he is now dealing with. Well, that's to be determined.
And, Jeff, I'm sure you're well aware of reports also this week coming out in Pittsburgh about surrounding Le'Veon Bell saying that he could potentially retire if he's franchised again. How ultimately do you see this situation playing out, not so much the rest of this year, but long-term with Le'Veon Bell? And what's that status right now in Pittsburgh?
Well, the Steelers don't talk about or negotiate contracts during the season. That's been their policy for as long as I can remember, and they don't break that policy for anyone. And Le'Veon Bell said what he said. And I think that, you know, he's been getting some backlash for his comments, but he was asked a question, he answered it honestly. Whether he will actually retire, I don't know. I can't speak for him. But at the same time, the Steelers have always wanted to get him on a long-term contract. He turned down what was reported a very lucrative deal last year. And he said that he feels like he should be rewarded as a top running back and a number two wide receiver. And while people laughed at that, he has gone out and done just that. He bet on himself, and he's performed well this season. So I don't know. The Steelers could still call his bluff and franchise tag him next year. He would make just north of $14 million a year for that year. But he wants a long-term deal. I think the Steelers would be smart to try to get him a long-term deal, but I wouldn't give him anything over 4 years tonight.
And again, we're joined by Jeff Hartman, who runs Behind the Steel Curtain on SB Nation for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jeff, you know, we talked about Antonio Brown, we talked about Le'Veon Bell, but now let's focus on, of course, the guy that makes the engine run in Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger. Is this going to be his last season, regardless of what happens, or is it one of those things where if he wins a Super Bowl, then he's done? What's going on inside Ben Roethlisberger's head right now?
I think a couple things. How this season ends, I think, will impact his decision. For instance, if they were to go out tomorrow and lay an egg against Jacksonville, and he might say to himself, look, I mean, if we can't even beat the Jaguars in the playoffs, let alone the Patriots, you know, what am I doing? I think the one thing to keep in mind is he's been healthy this year. He could have played in all 16 games, which is something he's only done like a few times in his 14-year career. The offensive line is intact. They're going to all be back next season. And he's going to have weapons. So I think that he'll be back next year. I personally believe that. I think that this year, because he stayed healthy, because the offensive line played well, and because they kept him clean more often than they didn't, I think he's leaning towards coming back. But a lot of people think, well, what if they won a Super Bowl? Is he just going to ride off into the sunset? You know, I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't even know if he can answer that question right now. I think that he is literally taking it game by game, year by year, and right now he's locked into the playoffs and ready to go.
Jeff, what adjustments do you expect from Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger against the Jags, who picked off Big Ben five times in their Week 5 matchup and held them to their lowest offensive output, just 9 points in that Week 5, 30-9 loss? What adjustments, how do you see them attacking a very potent and turnover-prone Jacksonville defense tomorrow?
Well, I don't think throwing it 55 times again would be the best recipe for success. Le'Veon Bell only had 15 carries in that game in Week 5. I definitely think that that should be a lot more even. A lot of Steelers fans are expecting them to come out and run. The Steelers are going to throw the football. They're a team that has so many weapons, and you have a franchise quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger, you'd be foolish to not throw the football. You don't want the Jaguars to load up the box or anything like that and try to just sell out to stop Le'Veon Bell. The Steelers have done well against very good defense like the Baltimore Ravens. They play twice a year when they spread teams out. They can run out of the shotgun. They can run out of those spread formations. And they can also throw the ball. I expect them to do just that again on the playoffs. It's something they did do in Week 5, but because of the pick sixes and the turnovers, they kind of got out of rhythm and got out of sync. But if the Steelers don't turn the football over on Sunday, I think they're going to be a tough team to beat.
And again, we're joined live by Jeff Hartman, who runs behind the Steel Curtain, the blog for the Pittsburgh Steelers on SB Nation. Jeff, there's no secret that the Jacksonville Jaguars defense could really get after the quarterback. For a defense like that, what kind of adjustments will Ben Roethlisberger have to make in particular, and what kind of adjustments, if any, do the offensive line in Pittsburgh have to make against that vaunted Jacksonville defense?
They did get a lot of pressure on Roethlisberger in Week 5. He wasn't sacked often, but they were always around him, forcing him to step up, move out of the pocket, get off his spot. The Steelers need to focus on that short passing attack. Ben Roethlisberger just needs to be willing to say, I'm just going to take the check down to Le'Veon Bell. And it might only be a 4 or 5 yard gain, but that's better than taking a sack. It's better than trying to push the ball down the field and having it turn into an interception. So with that said, I think that the Steelers are going to be focused on those intermediate, those short routes to try to negate that that pass rush. Don't be surprised if they go no huddle to try to get them in a defensive package that they feel favors them offensively, as well as to get them tired and to wear them down and not let them substitute. And I think that'll all be good for the Steelers, and they've had plenty of time to work on that. So don't be shocked if you see some no huddle out of Pittsburgh tomorrow night.
And, Jeff, moving to the other side of the ball, what's the biggest key to stop the Jacksonville offense? Is it limiting Leonard Fournette, T.J. Yeldon in the run game, or do they put more of the emphasis on stopping Blake Bortles in the passing attack?
Well, I think it's obviously the running attack, and I think Blake Bortles is a part of that running attack. You saw what he did against the Bills. He extended some drives and led to some points based on the fact that he was able to tuck the ball and run for a first down when he needed to. The Steelers just need to be disciplined in their run support, their run fits, and that includes with Blake Bortles when he's back there possibly running the football. You want to force the football in Blake Bortles' hands, and they can do that defensively by, doing their job up front, stopping the run, but also offensively, if the Steelers can get a lead, if they can get up by a 2-score lead, the Jaguars are going to get uncomfortable. They're not going to do what they want to do, which is just run the ball with Fournette. In Week 5, I think it was after 7 minutes in the third quarter, Blake Bortles didn't throw a pass for the rest of the game because they had a lead and they were able to just run the clock out. The Steelers need to, if they can get a lead early and then really stop the run, it's going to force Bortles to throw the football. And we've seen teams, not the Steelers, obviously, but have great success against that because Bortles is more conducive to throwing that one pick six or that turnover that's going to be a backbreaker. So that's both an offense and defensive goal there, but it all equates to just getting the football in Bortles' hands and forcing him to throw the ball.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us. Best of luck to the Steelers tomorrow. Certainly the game that I'm going to have my eyeballs glued to, and I'm sure many others around the country. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff.